Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan All-Stars, the longest-running, nationally syndicated centrist show in the country. Now, here's your All-Star host.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Alan Nathan Show All-Stars, your host, Joe, here of the Silker Joe Show with you all today. Coming to you unusually from freezing cold 38-degree South Carolina. However, if Alan in Alan's stead, we will have to, at least his mantra, folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. That's our, what would you call it, tribute that we start the program with now. It used to be just continuing in Alan's pattern, but after he passed away, it's now our tribute to him that we recite his mantra that was with audiences for 27 years, 27 and a half, no, 27 and a third years. But we do want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue. And you can show them some support over at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find out about the Alan Nathan Show, find out about the Silker Joe Show up there as well, and find podcasts for those programs, podcasts for them on other podcast outlets too, and surprisingly, Apple TV and Roku. I know, right? It's a radio program. What the heck are they doing up there? Anyway, you can also go to alannathan.com where you can find I'm not going to say it's all of them because I'm pretty sure there were plenty from before the internet. He was with that FNN News Network, or I think the NN stood for News Network. F was like financial or something. And it started as a competitor to CNN, but didn't take off, unfortunately. I think it was done by the year 2000, but that is where Alan started off. And so there might be some stuff that he wrote there that didn't translate to his homepage or that he wasn't able to keep a record of. I don't know. But we are also on social media, on X at Alan Nathan, on X at Main Street Radio, and on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network, too, for distributing this show. And I've been dancing around this because at this point I have to read to you the pre-written topics as Alan would have done in his tradition that appear on the social media outlets. Got mine right here, although aging because my eyes refuse to read because the monitor is slightly farther away than usual. I'll give it a go. Leftist SCOTUS Justice Brown Jackson and fired FTC commissioner for fourth branch of government accountable to no one. What is the point of Earth 3? The Democrat district attorney Bragg is elected in part robbery to be a misdemeanor. Now, incoming Democrat Mayor Mamdani wants an armed justice team. Democrats think only criminals have Second Amendment rights. I know the FBI could have grabbed the January 6th pipe bomber any time since April of 2021. Why did they only act now? I'm going to get to that first because I've got someone hopefully coming up later in the hour that we'll discuss the second, third one, where the heck I feel like it. But the Jandy Brown Jackson and this thing on here. Well, the FTC commissioner was fired under Trump. He brought in a lawyer. Case went up to the Supreme Court. And he's basically arguing that President Trump has no control over the FTC. Somehow it's part of the executive, but it's an independent organization for over it. Well, if that's the case, then all the things that are ostensibly under the executive branch actually has no authority of them, but they are still part of the government for branch. And who would hold holding them accountable? If the president can't fire someone under his own, then I guess there's no one who can except within themselves. But how does that make for a functioning government when you have the bureaucratic fourth branch that no one elects, no one can fire, no one can stop? I mean, just look at how they go out into business for themselves when they want to. Now, like what USAID was doing, no one had mandated that they do all the things that they were doing. In fact, when the Trump administration ordered them to shut down and turn over their records, the Trump administration had to block the building because USAID workers were still trying to get in and do whatever the heck it is they do, launder money. So that is the kind of thing that Ketanji Brown Jackson and this FTC commissioner are trying to protect with their basis for Supreme Court right now. And fortunately, Justice Kavanaugh did this out, that they are arguing for a fourth branch of the government. Now, the background of this, this is Trump versus the case. And the, let's see, I'm just going to read from Gateway Pundit here. Justice Ketanji Brown added an E to her name when there isn't one. Oh, well. Unleashed full throttle defense Sunday during oral arguments in Trump versus Slaughter, openly arguing that presidents should not be allowed to fire the PhDs, doctors, and so-called experts who run America's independent commission scam. In other words, bureaucrats should outrank the elected president of the United States. And the case stems from President Trump's March decision to fire Rebecca Kelly Slaughter and Alvaro Bedoya, both Democrat commissioners at the Federal Trade Commission. Now, Article 2, all that doing the business for myself here, like bureaucrats do, but Article 2 of the Constitution, that allows Trump to do such things, unless, of course, these are not part of the executive branch. But if they're not, what part of the government are they? Who can fire them? Who has authority over them? But these independent commissions, if they can function as independent branches of government, then I guess we do have a fourth branch of government, and that is what is being argued. And boy, Democrats are champing at the bit. They are really wanting this to come through, because then that will mean the bureaucracy, which is heavily ran by Democrat. Look at the demographics of the area that they call this bureaucracy from. Democrat people who are educated bring in extra Democrats, and they're hiring from this area of the country that is like 9 out of 10 are Democrats. The only Republicans you'll find are cowering in fear that the local Democrat attorney general is going to come after them, or the local Democrat district attorney will come after them. Well, if, say, Virginia, yeah, the Democrat attorney general might come after them with a gun or something based on his statements if he finds them hiding anywhere in his area. So that's the nature of the bureaucracy that they're hiring. It's no wonder Democrats want this to happen. I don't think we'll see it, though, because after all, the conservative justices on the Supreme Court outnumber the liberal ones, thankfully, for now. If Democrats are allowed to take the Senate next year, which I have a suspicion Republicans want them to, if they are allowed to, then there goes the ball game. They can easily take the House as well, and which I'm pretty sure Republicans want as well. And might end up with Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. as their own states, ensuring eternal Democrat rule and that the Supreme Court is stacked quite heavily in the Democrats' favor, which means that this is now an anarcho-tyranny state country where it's Democrat law or no law, and we're ran by bureaucracies. Elections are meaningless, which already we've seen was the case under Joe Biden. That's what Democrats thought about the presidency. They thought about, they think so little of it that they just had their bureaucrats running the executive branch under Joe Biden. And they think so little of it. Look at them arguing right now in the Supreme Court that the executive branch has no control over this part of the government, that this part of the government is a fourth branch unto itself, accountable to no one. And I mean, liberal, why don't we just roll in the liberal judges too into this? Because they seem to feel the same way that the judicial branch is unaccountable to no one as well. I mean, look at them ordering to violate the law and fund Planned Parenthood when it is illegitimate to fund Planned Parenthood. That is the law that Congress passed. They allocated a budget with $0 for Planned Parenthood. What's the outcome of that? It's illegal for the executive branch to fund Planned Parenthood. But then this judge comes out and says, nope, you're still going to fund them because screw the law. And now you have also judges, liberal judges, trying to dictate foreign policy on top of everything else. And we've talked about that throughout this year on the Alan Nathan Show. And so now we are left with this attempt to just outright create a fourth branch of government as if turning other branches into their own independent agencies wasn't bad enough with no accountability from anyone. But what does that say about what Democrats mean when they talk about democracy? We're here to protect democracy, but democracy to them is a fourth branch of government of unelected bureaucrats that can override the other three branches. To them, democracy is only liberal judges being able to override every other branch of government. Only liberal judges, mind you. They complain and complain when it's a conservative judge. I mean, we've played clips before of left-wing Justice Elena Kagan. Biden administration about how a single judge can override the Biden administration or whatever. But she was only complaining about conservative judges. She's okay when it's liberal judges doing it. She has no problem with that. She hadn't raised a single complaint about that. In fact, here she is. She's probably going to vote in favor of creating a fourth branch of government that's unelected, unaccountable to no one, for the sake of democracy, of course. I guess if you think democracy is as hollow and empty as people voting to decide who wins American Idol or something, then yeah, sure, whatever. Then I guess Democrats are fighting for that kind of democracy, but not the legitimate kind that allows legitimate governments and allows citizens to have belief in their government and equality for all. No, they're just voting for anarcho-tyranny ran by a bunch of bureaucrats that are accountable to no one, unfireable, and what are you going to do about it? They're the ones with the guns. More Al Nathan Show coming up after this break.
Tis the season to shop at Ollie's, America's fastest growing retailer of closeout merchandise and excess inventory, with brand name merchandise at up to 70% off the fancy store prices every day. Here's lifestyle expert Kia Malone.
You got to check out Ollie's this holiday season. Holiday decorations like ornaments, wreaths, stockings, and wrapping paper, 100 square feet, are priced $279, their price $429. Also, lots of brand name toys like Barbie, Nerf, Hasbro, Mattel, LOL Surprise, and more. Up to 70% off the fancy store price. Hot Wheels, Spiral Speed, Crash Set are priced $29.99. Their price $49.99. You'll also find Melissa and Doug up to 60% off the fancy stores. Books for readers of all ages up to 80% off the fancy store price. Other gifts like IntelliCook 6-quart stainless steel slow cooker are priced $19.99. Their price $39.99.
For an Ollie's near you, go to ollies.com. Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned ChefCore brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Soaker Joe Show co-host Joe as your host for the day. And we are joined for this segment by James Bradley. He is a number one New York Times bestselling author with his book being Flags of Our Fathers. That's one of them. But he's actually on about his latest book, Precious Freedom, a novel. And again, there's my nearsightedness. I cannot read the monitor. But James Bradley, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
I'm very good. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. Thank you very much for being on the show. Now, you have this new book, Precious Freedom, a novel, coming out. What's this about?
You know, Oliver Stone on the back of the book says it most succinctly. Oliver Stone, the great filmmaker, he's a veteran of Vietnam. He said, James Bradley went to Iwo Jima and came back with flags of our fathers. Now James Bradley goes to Vietnam and tells us that if we had known what happened in 1969 in Vietnam, American mothers would not have sent their sons to Iraq and Afghanistan. It's shocking what I reveal about how civilians, many of them young girls, pushed the Marines out of the northern part of South Vietnam. And this has never been talked about. I went and spent 10 years in Vietnam. You know, I went out to the Pacific for Iwo Jima. I wrote a book about George Bush in World War II. And then I went to Vietnam, and I had to spend 10 years there untangling the stories to tell the truth.
Yes, and I guess it was surprising to learn about that, but that truth. But was there anything in particular that shocked you?
Yeah, I was shocked that I had watched hundreds of documentaries, read over 200 books about the Vietnam War in America. And when I went to Vietnam and interviewed the veterans of the war, the guys and the girls who won, I had to unravel all the propaganda. I'll give you one example. If you start, just turn on a documentary, they'll tell you there was a North Vietnam and a South Vietnam, and the North Vietnam invaded South Vietnam. I went to Vietnam and the Vietnamese said, Mr. Bradley, that was all made up in America. There was one Vietnam. It's like the Chinese take Texas and they tell you, oh, there's a North Texas, which is bad, and a South Texas. No. There's one Texas. They said there's one Vietnam. Mr. Bradley, the French came and called us Indo-Chinese, and then you came and called me a South Vietnamese. You guys had big imaginations. So there was no North and South Vietnam. And what I learned was, they had a strategy called People's War, and they published the strategy. They talked about the strategy. They all knew the strategy, and American generals and presidents never discussed the strategy. The strategy that beat America was out in the open, and Walter Cronkite never told us about it.
Yeah, I guess at the time you just didn't want to acknowledge what was going on over there as far as America goes. Just look at it our way, put everything into its category, and then tell our history on a very American-centric view.
I went over there, Joe, you know, looking for communists, like you were fighting for communism. That's what I got told. Mm-hmm. Walter Cronkite, Ken Burns, communist forces today. The communist forces, you know, we don't say the capitalist forces at Valley Forge. I mean, if you came, I'm from Wisconsin. If you were a foreign troop and walked into my front yard and shot my father in the head, you know, I don't need an ism. I don't need to fight for capitalism. I know what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for my own home. So we had a bunch of propaganda shoved down our throats. But what shocked me, I'm a historian. And the universities of America are still teaching this, you know, this American version of the Vietnam War. And Americans, you know, my book came out on Veterans Day. It's called Precious Freedom. And I wrote it for the American veterans who still, you know, were not told exactly what happened to them in Vietnam.
Yeah, it was almost, to me, it almost seemed like with Vietnam that we just got involved in someone else's civil war that maybe we had a hand in creating in the first place, or at least had a hand in maintaining after the French left.
That was the myth, that there was a civil war. The myth is we came to the South to help the South fight the North. And the Vietnamese told me, no, we were one. It's your imagination there were two Vietnams, Mr. Bradley. When you came, see, People's War, my brother enlisted in the Marines in 1967. So my brother goes over with a rifle, and he's looking for other guys with rifles. And then he sees, I'm just talking generalizing. So he sees a little flower girl. She's 13 years old, has vegetables on her head. She waves hello. Well, that's not the enemy. I'm looking for the military. Then he sees a buffalo boy with no shoes on sitting out in the, on a buffalo. No. The buffalo boy was part of the intelligence net. That vegetable girl, that market girl, she was moving messages from one general to another. All the Vietnamese were part of the war. It was people's war. And they had just beaten the French with this strategy, people's war. And then the Americans walked in and said, no, there's no Indochina. There's a North and a South, and we'll install a guy in the South. And there was no South Vietnamese government. They never had taxes. Nobody ever, paid homage to them. We built a presidential palace, and then CBS would shoot, a guy in the palace. I mean, shoot him on film. And we imagined there was a South Vietnamese government. And the Vietnamese said, this was all a Potemkin thing that you projected into America, Mr. Bradley.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it almost sounds like what we were trying to do in Afghanistan just about with how we tried to unify that country when clearly we saw the success of that back in 2021.
I've been to I was in Afghanistan long before the war. I mean, these, the Afghanis and the Vietnamese, they have a history of being broken into, of invading. If you, if you look at an American, we have entrepreneurs, we have, a history of pioneers. The Vietnamese only have a history of getting invaded. So if you're Vietnamese, the first thing you learn is that the Chinese and the Mongolians and the French and the Japanese invaded your country. And it's like, you go by a well. Well, that, there was a battle here 1,000 years ago. You go to school. Well, there was a battle here 1,500 years ago, So they learn about how they beat every empire. The Vietnamese are the only nation who's beaten three of the United Nations Security Council members, France, China, and the Americans and the United States. So it just shocked me what I learned. And the book is called Precious Freedom, because Ho Chi Minh told his people, fight on. There's nothing more precious than freedom.
Well, we only got like 40 seconds left. So where can our listeners get a copy of the book, Precious Freedom?
Precious Freedom. I'm James Bradley. You know my movie, Flags of Our Fathers, with Clint Eastwood, Steven Spielberg. And you can get it at Amazon.com or write to me at JamesBradley.com.
Well, James Bradley, appreciate you being on the show today to talk about this. Listeners, coming up to a break, so you can go check that out. But we got more Al and Nathan Show coming up after.
I can't wait to tell you about the free crafting events at Michael's. So now through Christmas time, every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., there are free, absolutely free workshops at your local Michael's store. You are going to make a beautiful DIY ornament. Look at these wooden ornaments, such high quality. Michael's is going to give you the instructions, the paint, the paintbrushes, everything you need to complete the project. And they're going to feed you while you're at it. There's complimentary sweet treats while you're crafting. There's also also Make Break and Kids Clubs workshops happening on Sundays from 2 to 4 throughout the winter season. If you go to michaels.com/events, I just typed in my zip code, found my store, and I got a full calendar of all the amazing in-store events happening at Michaels this holiday season. As I mentioned, it is fun for the entire family. Head to your Michaels store every Saturday through Christmas time, 1 to 3 p.m. for a free workshop, or go to michaels.com/events to get the full winter calendar.
Holiday season is upon us, and so is holiday travel. Kids are returning home from college, families are gathering, all leading to increased activity on our roadways, which makes it the perfect time to talk about roadway safety and, in particular, distracted driving. Some of the things that people have told us they do while they're behind the wheel include 80% admit to eating and drinking, more than a third admit to using their smartwatches, 30% are taking videos while they're driving, and some are even actively shopping with their phones while driving. So just let all those statistics sink in. All the more reason for you to focus as much as you can on the road.
IHS has been crash testing vehicles for 30 years so that people can choose cars that offer the best protection. And today's cars are safer than they've ever been. But despite that, traffic fatalities are higher than they were 10 years ago. And risky behavior is a big part of that.
You can find more information at travelersinstitute.org or IIHS.org.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. By Silker Joe Show, co-host Joe, with you all today. So we have these three topics. Again, I went over the first one, leftist SCOTUS Justice Brown Jackson. Oh, I forgot to remove the E. I also keep wanting to call her Jackson Brown, but she is not a singer that I'm aware of. Anyway, leftist SCOTUS Justice Brown Jackson and fired FTC commissioner argue for fourth branch of government unaccountable to anyone. What is the point of the other three? Actually, it's more like the FTC commissioner's attorney is making that argument. But then again, by challenging the authority of a president to fire someone on the FTC, they're basically saying that the president has no authority over these independent agencies in the government, which means she is arguing for a fourth member, and the person is Rebecca Slaughter, hence the title of the case, Trump versus Slaughter. Anyway, topic number two is first New York City Democrat District Attorney Bragg is elected in part because he wants armed robbery to be a misdemeanor. Now incoming Democratic Mayor Mamdani wants an armed robber on his criminal justice team. Do Democrats think only criminals have Second Amendment rights? I might get into that the next segment. But finally, we have FBI could have grabbed January 6th pipe bomber anytime since April 2021. Why did they only act now? That's a very curious question, too, because they're trying to say he's a Trump supporter. Yeah, believe it. They're saying that this guy is a Trump supporter. He's a big fan of Trump. But like, even that is kind of contradictory because he was described as having anarchist beliefs. Like, so he's an anarchist Trump supporter? Usually you get anarchist communists, anarcho-communism. That's the left's thing. Remember all that stuff from, 2016 or whatever, where self-proclaimed anarcho-communists were on Bernie Sanders' campaign, and all these hidden footage videos came out of them talking about them and how they want gulags and whatever? Those were anarcho-communists, and anarcho, of course, meaning anarchy. So that's more likely what this guy would have been. But his grandmother just said that he is not a MAGA or Trump supporter or anything. And others have asserted he actually has no ideology whatsoever. He's just some autistic kid in the basement is one of the pretty much how he has been described. So there's really no telling what the motivation is. So perhaps this motivation has been assigned to him. Now, the FBI, you know that they would have grabbed him in conjunction with January 6th if they could have ascribed a motivation to him. Or if there was a flagging headline, in 2023, they would have grabbed him. This is the same FBI under Joe Biden who, when New York City Mayor Alvin Bragg stepped out of line on the issue of immigration, Biden's FBI started investigating him. This is the same FBI that investigated parents because of a whole cockamamie scheme by the Biden administration to stop parents from questioning DEI and critical race theory and all that sort of thing going on in their schools that they found out after the pandemic. So same FBI who's willing to go after parents because they oppose the Biden regime's initiatives, the same FBI willing to go after the mayor of New York City because he stepped out of line on the issue of immigration, same FBI who probably went after Bob Menendez finally after he stepped out of line on immigration. You think that they would have gone after this January 6er, this pipe bomber, if he had any tie that they could use. But he didn't. So they waited. And then suddenly under Trump, well, turns out the FBI knew about him since April of 2021. So let's just go and arrest the dude. Turns out he didn't get away with it after all. But now we're learning, his motive is actually he's a Trump supporter. Well, gee, that really flies in the face of the FBI in the past, doesn't it? Because, again, this is the same FBI, in addition to the things I just named, did a manhunt for anyone who was at January 6th, even if they were just standing around, even if they didn't go in the Capitol, anyone who was on the grounds, even people who were in the legal protest zones, the FBI wanted them arrested. That same FBI, you think they're going to overlook this pipe bomber because if he is a Trump supporter? Absolutely not. No. The only reason that's coming out, that fairy tale is coming out now, and also CNN, when it did come out, reported that the guy was white, and their host had to apologize on air for that. That was fun. Well, the only reason it's coming out now that this stuff about him maybe being a Trump supporter is because they're trying to frame it. They're trying to push this narrative that doesn't exist. Like they did right after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, like they do with the guy who was the first guy to assassinate Trump, like they did with the guy who assassinated those Minnesota Democrats. They try to say these are Trump supporters. These are bad guys. Don't believe it because they aren't. The first guy who shot Trump may have registered as Democrat years ago, but seems to have fallen down the same rabbit hole that the guy who assassinated Charlie Kirk did online with transes and furries and all that BS, and suddenly ended up as this wild radical by the time of the assassination. And certainly you're not going to see a Republican with in good health going around wearing his mask all the time, like this guy was alleged to have done by friends, that he was so radical on the pandemic that he was going around wearing a mask everywhere. So that certainly is not a Trump supporter there. But again, also the online activity I mentioned showing clearly he fell down the same path as the assassin against Charlie Kirk, who the media also said was left-wing. We talked about that on the Al Nathan Show, actually, the last time I hosted, how only 24% of the population actually know that the guy who shot Charlie Kirk was a radical leftist. 22% thought he was a Republican, and 13% thought he was a moderate. Incredible. But now we have this pipe bomber that everyone's going to be saying is a Trump supporter, when actually, as far as anyone can tell, he doesn't support anybody. He is just some kind of weird kid who did a weird thing. And that's about as far as it can go. Although, maybe there's something else there. Maybe the FBI used him. Maybe he's just a Ray Epps right there. Maybe that's what's going on with him. He's just a regular Ray Epps out there. And you remember him, right, from January 6th, how he was accused of being an insider, being an informant with the FBI. Everybody knew his identity. The first journalist to find him, though, the FBI investigated. The FBI didn't do anything about Epps. The FBI investigated the journalist who found him. Now, isn't that suspicious? Because they claim that he's not one of theirs, yet at the same time that they were wanting you to turn over anyone involved in January 6th, they investigate a journalist who finds this guy who was involved in January 6th. Why would they do that if he wasn't an FBI asset, right? So we know the FBI uses these guys. We know they had agents on the ground. That's come out recently, that they had agents on the ground officially, but unofficially, we've known for years. There's a New York Times Pulitzer Prize winning writer, although you could say author, because a lot of what the New York Times publishes is fiction. But this guy was caught on hidden camera by James O'Keefe's group, whichever one it was at the time. I think it was still Project Veritas at the time. But he was caught on a hidden camera saying that, laughing at other journalists who claimed that they were scared on January 6th, saying there's no reason they should have been scared because there were so many feds in the crowd with them. So it's not a leap of imagination to imagine that the FBI perhaps had, if not radicalized this kid to put the pipe bombs, used him as an asset to put him there. Maybe that he was actually working for them. And now it's become inconvenient to hide him. So here he is, ahead for Cash Patel's trophy wall. But guess we will never really know the truth. The only thing we can really assert with confidence is he was not a Trump supporter. But the media needs that narrative because, well, they've been having a rough year when it comes to finding Trump supporters who are terrorists, white supremacists who are terrorists. It just seems that every time that there's a terrorist act, it's a leftist or a Muslim or something that's been doing it. It's weird. And I do have to separate leftist and Muslim there because the Muslims are in for themselves. They will align with the leftists to the extent that it leads to their advancing their agenda and destroying the country. But and on that note, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, did in fact declare CARE and I think it was the Muslim Brotherhood, it was the other group, as terrorists. So at least the state of Florida recognized them, with CARE being unindicted co-conspirators with some terrorist attack at some point in U.S. history. So at least someone's recognized that, right? But now you have the mayor of New York City, though, which we'll get to shortly, putting all sorts of radicalists, jihadists probably in his team, but not one police officer that I could find out of everybody on his transition team that CBS listed, like 100 names. There was only one who was maybe a police officer too, but at least affiliated with a police organization. What an attitude by leftists. Cause a terrorist attack, blame Trump, and then go and hire people who hate the country and hate policing and want them and want nothing more than to destabilize this country. And meanwhile, they argue for anarcho-tyranny. So we get to the point where, as I was discussing with someone, I believe it was on the Silk or Joe show over the weekend, that we get to the point of like Yugoslavia, where the police are there, but only to protect the leaders and to make sure you're not saying anything bad about them. much like our allies overseas, like in the UK, for example, where the police only exist to make sure you're not questioning the established order, not actually enforce any laws. Boy, what a world Democrats are building for us. Why is it the Republicans seem like they want Democrats to win in the 2026 elections? Just the way that they're acting, the way that they're blocking Trump's agenda in Congress. Trump just lashed out at them the other day about obstructing his appointees. And certainly Congress in general under Republicans has had very little in the way of legislation come out. Why are they dragging their feet, especially with an election year? It's like they don't want to win. It's like they want anarcho-tyranny in the U.S. What do they gain from it? More Alan Nathan Show after this break.
Hi, I'm Steve Radke, president of the Northwestern Mutual Foundation. Every day around the world, over 1,000 children are diagnosed with cancer. At Northwestern Mutual, we've been trying to find better treatments and cures for those cancers, but we also know that a diagnosis can have an incredible emotional and financial impact on an entire family. In fact, studies show that 60% of families lose household income as a result of a cancer diagnosis. So when you couple that with the rising cost of education, this prompted us to create our Childhood Cancer Scholarship Program. Our Childhood Cancer Scholarship Program, now in its eighth year, works by providing college scholarships to those who are affected by childhood cancer, either survivors themselves or siblings of survivors. To date, we've provided over 370 scholarships, totaling more than $3 million to help alleviate some of that financial strain. For more, visit the Northwestern Mutual Foundation website, nmfoundation.com, and we're accepting applications until February 2nd.
Hi, I'm Anna D'Souza, lifestyle expert and mom of three, here to share some of this year's top toy brands and trending gift ideas like Lego, Nintendo, Play-Doh, and Gigglescape at even better prices from Target. Creative Play is huge this year. The Lego Creator 3-in-1 record player lets kids build three different designs. The Jenny Create Your Own Charm Accessories Kit has more than 200 beads and charms for DIY jewelry making. And the Fujifilm's Instax Mini 12 Stormy Weather gift set is perfect for tweens and teens. And younger kids love the cozy 14-inch Gigglescape Yeti. Target makes holiday shopping easy with thousands of toys under $20. Parents can also save time by using Drive Up, Order Pickup, same day delivery with Shipt, and free 2-day shipping on qualifying orders. With Target's new digital shopping tools, including the AI-powered Target Gift Finder, the Target Deals page, and the Target app in ChatGPT, families can shop confidently all season long. You can find all of these toys at Target stores, on Target.com, or in the Target app.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Soaker Joe Show, co-host Joe, hosting the program today. We're wrapping up this hour with Nils Grevelius. He is a prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator, and he's best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up, and the ties they expose between L.A. city government and organized crime, with his books including Skullduggery and Sub Rosa, with his next book, The Last Lawman, due next year. I say next year. It's only less than a month away. Nils Grevelius, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So we have Zora Mandani, the incoming mayor of New York City. He's put this convicted armed robber on his transition team, which is just this slew of anti-cop activists, possible jihadists, and possibly people from the Chinese government, from what I read. And there's one token police officer from the Bangladeshi American Police Association. That's out of all 100 on his transition team. But in particular, this is on his criminal justice team, where you have the one Bangladeshi American Police Association person. I don't even know if it's an officer. It might just be some bureaucrat from the organization. But then there's armed robber and anti-cop activist. What's your take on that?
Well, I think he's an adequate substitute for Sirhan Sirhan, who couldn't make parole from the California prison system in time to join the Mom Donkey administration. I mean, what did they expect when they elected a communist revolutionary as mayor of New York City? What did voters expect they were going to get from this banana?
And it seems to me that just it's part of the pattern of New York City voters, because there was that district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who ran on two things: extremely soft on crime and getting Trump at any cost. And Alvin Bragg, he actually thought armed robbery should be a misdemeanor. So I guess their attitude in New York City toward armed robbery is it's just part of city life.
Well, you know, this is to reflect like what did Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, say, that a bit of terrorism is part and parcel to living in a big city? And the hipsters, the guys with the man buns in the pedal pusher pants and the Bugs Bunny shoes, they're happy to live among the filth and the crime and everything else. They think it makes them look cool, like they're in Netflix content where they live in Brooklyn or Red Hook or whatever the hell those places are.
It's almost like they have a dissociation from reality and the implications of what they're doing, and they're just muddled off in their own world, totally independent of what's going on around them.
I think that's correct. A couple of years ago, there was some Antifa activist from Boston who was living in New York City. And coming back from a wedding at 4 o'clock in the morning on a subway platform, a train platform in Brooklyn, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, he got aired out by some street skell while his girlfriend watched. And then when the police attempted to investigate, she refused to identify the man who had stabbed him to death because she believed in restorative justice. And she didn't want the man to be prosecuted because he was a quote-unquote colored person or person of color or whatever the common rubric is today.
What the heck is restorative justice then? It won't restore anyone back to life whose life was taken. Does she just feel that the guy, that her boyfriend, deserved it for being white? Or what, did she even care about the man?
Well, I mean, she cared more about looking good. Remember the lowest threshold of human ethics, according to Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, was aesthetics. We do something that is right because it makes us look good. And that's about it. I don't think she even achieved that because she did something wrong to make herself look good.
Wow. Yeah, and that isn't even the first time we've seen such things. I mean, over the years, I've seen, you know, first it was in Minneapolis. Someone, during 2020, during the riots and stuff, someone was carjacked at gunpoint. And the first thing they did reflexively was call the police. And then they apologized to the carjackers for doing that. The police, I don't think, caught them. But she apologized to them for having endangered them, even though they were the ones who put a gun to her and could have pulled the trigger at any moment.
Well, how is she smart enough to breathe without a machine helping her and reminding her? I mean, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And then the governor of Minnesota, his wife loves the smell of burning tires in the night.
That's
what we're dealing with,
dialectic
Leninism. These people are Marxists. They're not good government Democrats. It's like the good government Democrats have all fled the scene.
You know, that's probably why the party keeps becoming more and more unpopular, and why it's been unpopular this year, and why their funding has been drying up, because people are seeing how radical they are, and all you have left are the radicals once the moderates leave.
Well, and whatever organizing money they have, they get from tax dollars. They just filter it through NGOs and local government in the guise of homeless services or drug outreach or gang outreach, like with this criminal armed robber that Mom Donkey has imported into the Gotham's administration. I'm going to predict that this doesn't end well. It never does.
No, and that armed robber, actually, part of the reason I guess he got there and him specifically ended up there is he runs this nonprofit for people like him, I suppose. And you got to imagine taxpayer money must have been going to that nonprofit. It's a left-wing nonprofit. So how much of that was just enriching himself? How much of all this is a scam? And how many of these people are going to be fattening themselves at the expense of New York City's taxpayer?
Well, funds like this are cryptocurrency for urban Democrats. That's all. This is a parasite NGO that we're talking about. He calls it a charity. I call it a parasite organization.
Yeah, so, and we've seen plenty of those. They're coming out now with Minnesota. Last I saw, the figure was $8 billion in fraud, largely from these types of parasite organizations that they're running.
Well, who could possibly be surprised? We're gonna be busy quite a while trying to right the ship of this country.
Yeah, and as the taxpaying base, though, moves out in New York City, though, and places like Minneapolis, just how much left is there of taxpayer money to give to these organizations? And then suddenly these people who voted for Mam Dani thinking they're going to get all these free things, and they voted in their own interest somehow, suddenly they're going to be the ones footing the bill for it when they were promised a free ride.
Well, they'll try to get us to fit the bill for it, as always. You know, these are children voting for Santa Claus, as you've pointed out. And, you know, Mom Donkey is the bearded Santa they wanted.
Yeah, and the fact that these are all higher educated, too, it's like a total failure of our education system, or perhaps a total infiltration education system.
Joe, I'm gonna differ. They call themselves educated. They've got letters after their names. They've got garbage degrees from state-funded butthole factories. That's what we're talking about here.
I would tend to agree with that. The moment that the government got involved with funding colleges, it led to even more of this, as if we didn't have enough of it already. But Niels Gravelius, appreciate being on the show. About 30 seconds left. Where can listeners find your books?
Well, it's available for pre-order on Amazon. The Last Lawman, delivering in June of 2026 by Post Hill Press.
Okay, listeners, that's something to look forward to for next year. Unfortunately, we have nothing left in this hour of the Alan Nathan Show for you to look forward to, but our websites are mainstreamnetwork.com and alannathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.